I am Thor, son of Odin. As long as there is life in my breast, I am running out of things to say.
Great, another broken white boy for us to fix.
That's my secret, Cap.
I'm always angry.
You took everything from me.
I don't even know who you are. With great power comes great responsibility.
I can do this all day.
Wakanda forever!
Welcome, Internet, to another episode of Views from the 616, the blackest MCU podcast in the multiverse, powered by For All Nerds, where we talk everything in the MCU from the perspective of people of color. And then there's one of your hosts, Tatiana King, a.k.a. Tesseract Thompson, a.k.a. the coldest Winter Soldier ever, the Wicked Witch of the West View, Ravonna Renplaya, and Little Visionvert. And as always, I'm joined this time by, looks like, the Tony Stark bespectacled co-host.
I like that. I like that. Shout out to my brother, RIP. As always, it's your boy, DJ Ben-Amin, a.k.a. the Black Adam Warlock, the Nightmare on Ellis Street, Lieutenant Good Trouble, NBA Young Boy, Never Blipped Again, Armand Duquesne the Fifth, the Long Swordsman.
That last one always throws me off. Like, I can't.
After the way my man Jack Duquesne shined.
Ayo.
This week.
Ayo.
It's my time.
Mans did that. But, yo, we're going to get into that in just a second. First, let's introduce everyone. Thank you all for joining us, Views from the 616. We are here to talk the finale episode six of Hawkeye, titled This Is Christmas? Or in the case of if you work at a Popeyes, but it's Christmas, Danita. Ben-Amin, how'd you enjoy this finale?
Loved it. Pretty straightforward. You know, that's the thing. This whole series has been pretty straightforward. Like we said, you know, there wasn't really much to predict because a lot of things were just
direct.
You know, they were headed down that path and they weren't really, you know, throwing you any fake outs, any unnecessary fake outs. So, you know, we pretty much called Kingpin coming through, and that man walked in the first, you know, frame of the shot, like, of the show. So,
I guess nothing to predict in the sense of that it was hard to figure out, but we were on target.
Yes.
With generally everything we said.
As usual.
I'm just saying, Views from the 616, that's what we do.
Yes. But I really enjoyed the episode. You know, even though it was a lot of action for most of the episode, the character growth between Clint and Kate was great. I thought Kingpin was great. I thought Eleanor was great. I thought my man Jack Duquesne came through like a champ. My G. I got to talk about Echo, but we'll get to that.
Oh, yeah.
We'll
definitely get to that. And her silk press.
Yeah, that was weird. So, it was, you know, but I loved it. And then the action was great, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Ben, you'll be happy to know that, or surprised to know that it was directed by Rhys Thomas, not Burt and Birdie this time.
No, I read an interview with them where they did 3, 4, and 5, so I knew going in. I was like, ah!
Well, I think Rhys, at least on this one, redeemed himself. I don't know what the fuck happened with the first two, but the last one made sense, and I could see what was going on and all that. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Jonathan Eagler and Eliza or Lisa Clement. Thank you both for your service. Jonathan Eagler also is the one who adapted pretty much the entire series for TV. So he's kind of like the head. If you want to give him the title, he's kind of like the head writer at this point.
Yeah, they don't have showrunners. They have head writers. So he is the head writer. But may as well be the showrunner.
Basically. For this episode, most of the action is set in the big centerpiece of Rockefeller Center, which is also in New York, the center of everything Christmas, really. You have the giant tree that has no name. Or maybe it does have a name. I just call it the tree, quote unquote.
Rockefeller Center tree. That's all I call it.
The tree. Yeah. So, like, when you say the tree in a city, everybody's like, all right, that did. There's ice skating, you know, the Xmas lights, and that's generally where people come to gather. Just if you're a tourist, when you're just visiting New York, it's just one of the places to go. And of course, they have all sorts of holiday stuff going around there. So perfect finale background for this story to occur in. So, Ben, we got to get into things. So it's time
for
the themes
of the episode. Huzzah.
End the series.
Yes.
End. the first theme that has been an overarching thread throughout each episode, the theme of what is a hero? Mm-hmm. And we get some pretty profound definitions that are, I would say, personified in this episode, in this finale episode. We hear it, for me, the biggest one was when we hear it from Kate, right out of her mouth. She says, a hero doesn't need to know how to fly or have powers. A hero can be anybody that's brave enough to do what's right, no matter the cost. Mm. And she takes that shit to heart because she has her mother arrested on Christmas.
Is this what a hero does? Gets their mother arrested on Christmas?
Yo, but I was like, not Eleanor with the guilt trip. Like, hey, yo, you killed somebody. Like, but my thing is, in all actuality, did Eleanor physically kill Armand or did she have him killed? Because I couldn't imagine her rolling up in there with like a sword and and yeeting the nigga like that. Like, could you?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Earlier in the series, I thought they might go that route. But by the time she is pleading, you know, her case as she's being shoved into the car, and I'm like, it don't matter what your daughter does at that point. The handcuffs is on you, fam.
Right, like the police is here. They got you. They came out already.
Yeah, your guilt trip is a little late. You should have came with that before this. I will.
And I think the other reason why I found this so profound is obviously, like, that's a conversation that has been held pretty much episode after episode between Kate and, in her eyes, her mentor, and for real now, her mentor Clint. The conversation has been had between Kate and her mom itself. Like, her mom constantly telling her, you're no hero. You're not an Avenger. Basically just being the antithesis to everything Kate has been growing to be and has really trained to be. And Kate coming to terms. You saw her as Ben, you put it perfectly. You said she went through the classic hero's journey. And could you just explain again what that hero's journey is?
Oh, gosh. I mean, shorthand.
Just the quick, like the steps. Like you said, you know, you go through the point of like you don't believe in yourself and all that type of stuff.
Shorthand is, you know, it's a classic hero's journey. I can't remember the name of the guy. Once again, twitch.tv/forallnerds. I know somebody is correcting me and telling me the name of the person who wrote it. But basically, it starts off your character or your hero is in a position where they are enjoying their life. They don't want things to change. Something comes into their life that forces them to change. In Kate's life, it happens very early. Mm-hmm. She's like a Batman type character where, boom, you know, the attack on New York happens and she's forced to change. And she goes through this journey. And then along the way, they'll encounter obstacles upon obstacles that will keep having them maybe question whether or not they even want to do this. And people will tell them, you can't do this, you know, and other people will say, you should do this. And they'll encounter someone like a mentor along the way who's like in Luke Skywalker, you have Obi-Wan, while Joseph Campbell, that's the name of the guy that who wrote the classic, who actually modernized it and said, this is what a hero's journey is. Anyway, so Obi-Wan is that mentor, while Hawkeye is the mentor to Kate in this one. And then you have big villains that you have to overcome. And finally, you'll get to the point where you're changed by whatever journey you're on and you return to your normal world, but you're forever changed. And now you are this new person, as in Kate is now Hawkeye, having gone through this journey upon journey and constantly being told, even by Clint, to go home.
Even by herself. She was like, I'm no hero.
Yep.
She doubts herself at the moment.
And then Clint now, in this episode, giving her the hero speech where he's like, no, you are a hero. And I got to give it to Clint, yo. He gives some great speeches. He really does. Like, he's right behind Cap.
I admit, I'm starting to kind of be okay with Hawkeye.
Yeah, I think, Clint. I just feel like it was that, you know, mistake by the writers of Endgame, you know, that really ruined him. Because I always liked him. Like, when he barked on Scarlet Witch in that one before, I loved him for that. You know, he has always had these moments where I've always like, damn, this dude's just a regular dude, and he out here. You know, so I've always messed with him. Yeah.
And they keep pointing that out, and Kate pointed that out. Like, yo, she said that. She's like, yo, you was out here with no nothing, no parachute,
a stick and
no
a string.
Powers, no nothing, a stick and a string. And that's what made that this conversation about heroism and being a hero so prevalent, because she just laid it out like that. And like, that was one of the realest things she's ever said to me. Like, I that's what I saw. And that's why that shit hit me so deep, especially as a child. As a child, you're impressionable, period. Mm-hmm. But also as a person, to be in that type of situation, that really scary situation. I mean, anybody, regardless of what age you are, if right now that happened in front of my house right now, who the fuck knows how I would react? So to be in that situation where you're not only scared, but also you feel helpless. But then you see what appears to be just this impossible person doing these things that's like, well, that person could do it and they got nothing. Mm-hmm. I could do it too. And that's also, you know, that's kind of like a lesson that always gets told just in regular life. Like, forget mm-hmm. like fantastic situations, but like yep. in regular life, they would like, you know, how, the adage goes, you know, some people do more with less. Yep. It's the fact that some people will make it. And you know, Black women, we make that shit happen. Like, we, a lot of people, and regardless of what side of the argument you fall on is where they say Black women are heroes of magic and this and that. Yes, a lot of the times that is a problem because now you're dehumanizing us and you're telling us we're more these powerful things when really we're also humans like you. But also, it also is true in many facets. Like, we have to do more with less a lot of times. We have to stand and be stronger than other people. And also, Black people in general. But, you know, that's
yeah,
my story.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, let's not leave us, you know, like, goddamn. Like,
well, I'm a Black woman, so I'm going to say Black woman first. Yeah. But yes, Black people in general. And it's not exclusory, just to be clear. Yeah. I'm just saying the thoughts that come into my head as we're speaking on this.
And you know, the classic Andre 3000 shirt that he wore, darker skin people are treated worse all around the world. Why is that?
Listen. You great know, conversation.
Like, it doesn't even have to be Black. If you're darker, it don't matter right. where you at. They're not gonna lie to you.
Great conversation for another podcast. But that's just like I said. Just the point of that can be so that idea of strength, even when you're not mm-hmm. this God, if you're not Thor, that you still have that strength within you. That's a conversation that everyone could have universally.
Yeah, and then I've seen, you know, and I know people will comment on this. They'll say, "Well, Kate is a privileged, rich white woman." And that's mm-hmm. how she's able to get away with some of this stuff. And this is quite true.
Absolutely. I told you she got that. It was a joke, but I said she got that cab in the middle of the night in rain. She bought a dog in the damn diner. Like, powerful white. TM. I mean,
but like, you know, a good white woman, you know, there are some. She uses her powerful whiteness for good.
There it is.
For the good
I
of all people.
I know she was real. When she had her mother arrested, I said, okay. I'm with Man, you.
When she was up in grills in them crib, chilling with them, like that's when I knew, you know, Kate was about that
white
life.
White people love to hang. White women can hang with anybody. That who cares? I'm,
this when is she also arrested true.
Her mother and also her last, at least direct relative, because yeah, she got like her crazy ass old ass aunt, but we haven't seen that woman. She out in Florida chilling or whatever. And yeah, Kate has money and access all this stuff, but as far as we know, she's alone.
Oh well.
Right? As evidence yeah. of the fact that who does she go to for to spend Christmas with? Clint and his family.
And she ain't going to have money now because her mom's going to cut off them cars.
Her mom might cut her off at this point. If she hasn't already. Well, she kind of already cut her off. I don't know if she's already cut off.
I doubt it. And she ain't going to do it now from prison.
There you go.
You know, mom was, you know, that's the other thing. That's what we learned this episode. The mom had the debt of her dad to Kingpin. So that's what got Eleanor involved in it in the first place, was her dad was dirt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And we're going to get all into that shit.
Yep. So yeah.
Just in terms of closing out this, what is a hero? Remember Grills and his LARPer buddies, right? In their real life, they are first responders. They are firefighters, police people, EMTs, etc. And one of the things that they talked about a little bit and also that has occurred in the MCU is that thought that these people who are in these first responder roles, suddenly they feel like they're not useful in the age of Avengers and heroes and people with powers, right? It's just like, okay, well, that nigga could fly. What can I do? And remember, at many different points, that's when about that hero's journey. You're like, damn, you know, that person has all that. What can I do? You know, all I do is fight fires, not realizing that you've always still been a hero. You know what I'm saying? And we see them get into the hero form, like when they put on their new LARPing costumes and they get to be the heroes they always were. And it's just funny because that's so much psychology there, right? Like they're still the same people, but the fact that they put on, and that's what, especially with someone who doesn't have powers, having that costume, having that mantle, physical or not, putting that on puts you in a different mind state, right? Don't they always say it's all about more about how you think versus what it really is? If you're in that mind state that you're going to be powerful and you're going to direct people and you're going to do this, you're going to be a leader, like it's going to happen for you. And for them, putting on those costumes helped to push that thought mm-hmm. and that energy.
And well, as Deion Sanders says, when you look good, you play good.
There
it is.
You
play good, you get paid good.
There it is. And they were wearing, like, what were they wearing? Server outfits. Like, on a literal level, no one was going to listen to them, right? Those are outfits of servers.
Servants.
And I didn't want to say service, but
you didn't.
But like,
I know, but I'm going to say
like in
you.
A cocktail party, right? Like, if
servants,
if you're cool, yeah, you're going to at least show respect, waiters. But you're not necessarily going to give them an understanding of authority. Versus mm-mm. when, for example, in regards to how you feel about them, when you see police in uniform, you see firefighters in uniform, or whatever, you give them a different level of attention.
But now here's the real ill thing about this, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't put on their police or firefighter uniforms. They put on their medieval costumes, their LARPing costumes. Because in this world, superheroes are more respected than even police and firefighters. So when people see these dudes, they're going to be like, oh, well, there's Hawkeye over there, and there's this girl shooting arrows. My man's over here going ham with a sword. I better listen to these, you know.
Weirdos.
I mean, they might they'll be like, yo, that must be the new Avengers. You know, who knows? Like, okay, they got, you know, Conan joined. I don't know. You know?
Right.
So, yeah. Right.
And then, of course, like you said, you had Jack going off. With the fucking sword combat, like the mate, like he was going in. He was waiting his entire life to do that shit.
So he said, okay, Jack, it's your time. It's not at all your time, Jack. That's the first thing. It's like, it is so many other things going on in this episode.
So many things.
That you are not even, he's like, I think I'm missing something. You're missing everything, Jack, first of all. But just the confidence in yourself. And then also Jack coming to little Armand Duquesne VII or whatever he is.
Yes, and reading him for filth. How you read a 7-year-old for filth, bro?
Because
remember
Armand
that time you
was...
peed in the Hamptons? I remember.
Everyone does. But then, I mean, Armand was filth. He was a little, he said, I'm going to get your wine. He said, it'll pee by then. Not if you go back to jail.
He was a little snot. Get it. That's but he's always been a little snot, right? He's a 7-year-old rich Armand the 7th.
I would have read that for filth too. You know? Quick. You know me, I love a kid getting sunned. And I love that the MCU is not above sunning kids. That is one of my favorite things about the MCU.
Yeah. Sometimes kids deserve to get sunned.
Iron Man 3, shout outs, classic.
Okay, the next theme is talk about of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Take it away, Ben.
Yes. First of all, while we're watching this episode, I do want to say something that because while we're talking about the LARPers, I realized that this show, like how Rodimus was talking about how No Way Home is about, I can't remember.
Criminal reform.
You know, Peter helps out everybody, blah, blah, blah. In this, the show is about gun and police reform. Because like we say, we see the LARPers, right? They don't put on their police uniforms. They don't use guns. They just stand there with their costumes. Imagine if they had been police right then. Somebody would have gotten shot. You know, if that man had their gun on his side, they would have shot somebody, right? Mm-hmm. Then look at all of the Tattoo Mafia coming in with the hands, the guns.
The entire Tattoo Mafia was armed.
Armed to the teeth. Even my man who went to the Maroon 5 concert still came with a pistola. What happened to them? Dunned them all off by people with sticks and strings.
Done.
So I think this show is sending a strong message. You know, leave them guns at home. You know,
I like it.
Get them hands out. Responsibilities. But speaking of responsibilities and the big theme of this show and this episode and really this whole show, like we've been talking about, Kate's been on this journey and Kate has to learn the hard truths about being a hero. And Clint, once again, during this speech, lets her know what's coming. He's like, it can get ugly. That's part of this hero stuff. Like sometimes these lines get crossed. Sometimes family members get involved. You know, you ready to take him down like that? And she's like, yes, on Christmas. So, you know, she takes responsibility for her own actions. Yelena, this is something I think that Yelena and Kate once again share. They both knew the truth, but they just didn't want to accept it. Yelena know damn well that Clint didn't kill Natasha. You know, Yelena has been worshiping the Avengers since Natasha was with the Avengers. Like when they meet in Black Widow, she's all, you know, dissing her and stuff. But she's worshiping that life. She wishes she could be with Natasha. She's upset that Natasha left her behind and gets to travel around the globe being awesome and all this. You know, doing hero shit while she's out here murdering people.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows about Natasha and Clint's relationship and how close they are. Everyone in the world knows. So she knew this stuff. But, you know, that's why she didn't just cap Clint, right?
Because she could have capped him immediately.
From across the street, no problem. Yeah. Party done. You done. It's over.
Yes.
But she ain't do that. She got up on him, talk about, I want to ask questions. Nobody does that when they want to kill you. You know, they just really want to, you know, they want to confirm it. She definitely needed it confirmed, but she already knew the truth. Because like we said last week, nothing that Clint could have said to her would have changed her mind if she didn't already accept it. Got to take responsibility. Natasha was responsible for her own life and her own choices in life. And Elena got to learn. Echo. Now, I don't know if we'll get to Echo later. But as far as being responsible, she comes up on Kingpin and it's like, you know.
It's quiet for you, son.
You stumbling. She you're not looking there good.
With her new lashes done.
Cartridge in a pear
and
silk popping.
Press. And said it's quiet for you.
Quiet. While bumping Christmas music. Last thing you got to hear is that terrible song, dog. That's some like, that's some horrible shit for your man.
Do you
right
know
there.
What song it was? I don't remember this
song. A partridge in a pear tree.
Oh, that was playing when she pulled up.
When she stepped out the van, she was the partridge. She
literally pulled up on Kingpin.
Yeah, on the partridge. Like, she was the partridge in the pear tree. Mm. So made him responsible for, you know, killing her father. Responsibility. Everybody got to pay. Except for your man, Clint, who states yet again. I'm joking right here. Me, Clint is paying for his sins already. You know, he knows he bodied people.
Right. And it's just, but it still was funny to me. Like, okay, so you get to burn the Ronin suit and that's it.
That's it, folks. Ruining a good grill,
you have atoned
too.
For all your sins. And people would be like, well, what the fuck else you want him to atone for, right? Like, all this shit happened. But I'm just like.
Y'all want him to, like, stab himself at the end.
Right.
Like,
I just got to state that, like, okay, he, you know, nothing. I mean, I guess, and again, it's debatable, right? What is the equatable, like, response, you know, accountability for someone who just goes around the world killing people because they believe that they're criminals?
I mean, he didn't believe they were criminals. They were criminals. That's the thing. Like, well, you know, we got morality and all that, but they weren't, you know, they were a Mexican drug gang, you mm-hmm. know, and the Yakuza. I mean, generally,
nothing, because they were, but Ben, you know what I'm getting at? We had this whole conversation for several episodes over of, okay, but you still went around the world ruining lives. So which one? It's both, right? Yeah, they were. Yeah. Yes, of course, they were. I'm not saying they weren't. I'm saying that they were criminals, but also.
Yeah, they were just
people,
chilling.
As evidenced by Echo and her dad. Like, they were still people with families and all this other stuff. And it's just like, well, they chose a long line of work. Absolve Clint of everything.
I mean, that's the thing. When the Tratsu Mafia gets bodied in this episode, nobody blinks an eye.
Well, nobody cares, right? Because we also don't. And that's what I said. You know what it was when you signed up, right?
Yep.
Like, and you don't get the backstory of Tratsu Mafia 56, who lives with his stepdad arrow. Or something like that. Yeah.
No. But that's what I mean. So it only hurt us so much to do this white dude killing people of color. That's why that was the only reason. Like I said, if they had just said he was out killing terrorists all around the world and then showed him killing some, you know, like a multicultural, like if he ran through the Flag Smashers, nobody would have blinked an eye.
Well, they're trying to express that he was multicultural in his
terrorism. Oh, he damn sure was.
He was multicultural across the world.
We confirmed that, you know. Yeah. My man was equal opportunity and still is, because he bodied quite a few Caucasians in this episode.
You just didn't like the even though it was equal opportunity killing, it was also with appropriation. It was like, it's like, okay, well, you're, I guess it's acceptable, but let's put a dash of unacceptable in there just to better.
That's what ruined it for me. The fact that he was killing Japanese people with a sword and a samurai tattoo on his shoulder, like, what an asshole. And called himself the Ronin while he was doing it. Like, that's where, you know, that's where it was a bridge too far.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. And y'all, and before y'all come yelling at us in the mentions, I don't care. We're just making the jokes and it's funny. So relax.
Oh, my God. Yep.
Okay. So one of the second to last themes here, Hawkeye and Hawkeye is what we're calling it, because you see it. In the previous episode 5, you had the personification of the passing of the torch when Hawkeye gave the arrow to Kate. And also, I wanted to mention, I guess
which
we were
from
wrong.
The comics.
Which is from the comics. Okay, what comic was that from, Ben?
It's from the Matt Fraction and David Asia run, like we always talk about on the show, that you should have bought by now after 6 weeks of talking about Matt Fraction and David Asia's run on Hawkeye. It's like 3 graphic novels, and it's incredible. And that shot is straight from the comics. And Bert and Bertie mentioned it in an interview as one of their favorite moments in the whole series.
Okay. And one of the things that you and I were like, nah, it can't be. I guess we were wrong. They really did, Ben, show us their costumes. All Ben. The posters of
Ben,
the promo posters that we saw of Hawkeye and Hawkeye, they were wearing these purple costumes. We was like, that can't be the costume. Well, it was the costume that got revealed during the episode. So to me, it's just the same thing Kate Ben wearing, just more leather.
And more purple. It looked good, though.
And more purple.
They look good together. I'm not that way.
It just didn't look no different than what she'd been wearing. And then Hawkeye, his shit, you know, like I said, he used to dress like a hoe, so now he's wearing more purple.
And once again, that one is straight from the comics. Both of their costumes are straight from that Matt Fraction, David Asia run. So it looked really good to see them on screen together in them.
Yep. We get to see Mad Arrows. Like, as they were, like, doing the whole montage of building all the new arrows, I felt like it was, like, Bubba Gump and Forrest. Like, when Bubba Gump's like, well, you got your cocktail shrimp, and you got your fried shrimp, and you got your deep fried shrimp. Like all of that and all of the different arrows they had. You had the acid arrow, magnetic pulse arrow, arrows with stark arrowheads, at least one PIM arrowhead. And we were sitting there like, where is he getting, I guess he's been saving these up, but where is he getting all these arrows heads from, or did he just have a stockpile somewhere?
He has a stockpile, and then he can make more. He lied to Kate earlier.
He can make more of the tricks ones, but not the Stark and, or PIM joints.
Well, PIM he can get from Scott anytime. Facts. Stark, you know, they're still a Stark company, you know, so they can still make him arrows.
Still supplying him with arrows.
Yeah, Pepper's still there. She gonna hook him up. True. You know, like, you need some more arrows? Come on, dog.
True, but yeah. He did lie and say there was no more, but he clearly, and I was like, that has to be a lie, right? Because when them times where he be in the cut alone under deep cover, he's gonna run out of arrows, so he gotta be able to have the tools, but the skills to re-up on his own.
I love that sequence because it felt like every 80s action movie that I've ever seen, where they always have the moment where they go back to their lair or somewhere and gear up, and they're strapping on all the guns and all the ammo and loading clips in and clacking everything. So that was just great.
It reminds me of, is it Batman and Robin and Batman Forever, when like every the camera that really holds these shots, but the camera keeps zooming into different parts of their body and they're strapping on gear.
But see, that's the terrible version of like what had happened for 10 years before that, like in Commando and pretty much every 80s action movie. And then they did Batman Forever and ruined it. And that's why you can't do those shots anymore because of Batman Forever.
And it was just cool because this is the first time you're really focusing on Hawkeye as a character, his story, his powers so much as his weaponry. It was cool to see all the different types and really all the creativity that goes into the writing behind the types of arrows he can have. Like, we've seen the grenade arrows, the bomb arrows, and we've seen the gas smoke bombs, but you get to see more new things like flashbangs, electric restraints, tranquilizer, concussive grenades. Like, you get to really see the different levels. And again, very cute how Kate used the label maker to label all the arrows. Like, you know, and it also reminds you, she's new to this, right? Yep. So she has to label her arrow. Like, Clint been in the game for a while, so he knows what's
what. All them shits, yeah. No, she's like, okay, let me make sure I don't use this one on
the too dangerous
this
one.
This arrow, yeah.
It was and cute. For, the freeze arrow, that was fire.
Oh, yeah. For fans of the comics, we've seen all these arrows, so it was just awesome to me for finally get to see these arrows. Because even going back to like the 80s again, when they had the Marvel Universe comic where they would just have breakdowns of every character, and they would have Hawkeye, and then they'd have his quiver, and they'd have the cutaway of his quiver so you could see each arrow in the quiver, and then they'd have each arrow labeled and be like, this arrow does this arrow, and you're like, oh, you know, it happens. You never even get to see him use most of these joints in the comics, you know?
But knowing that he has them.
Yeah, it was always like, oh, he got this. When did he go bust that out? You know, never did. Yeah.
And that's what's so cool about it, right? Like, you can write whole stories based off of the type of arrow he has.
So, and they have.
And they have, right? And yes. I think that's also what helps Hawkeye as a character to be so interesting, right? Like if people want to, for whatever reason, I think it's silly, but if you want to down for being, quote-unquote, just a human, look at all the fucking tricks that he got in his bag, literally, right? and all of the adventures that can be created just out of that alone.
Yeah, and then he's a badass, as Kazi learned.
That nigga is just taking the L's left and right. One thing I wanted to mention, two things I wanted to mention, that Kate and Lena fight, that side-scrolling shot through the offices. Beautiful work.
Beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful camera work, beautiful action choreography.
You saw your man at the desk on Christmas Eve not get up when they fought
during
by him?
Doing a radio show?
Was he doing a radio show?
It was a radio. There was a person. Well, I don't know which one. You talking about
Office? There's, in the office, there's a guy just chilling at his black dude, chilling at his desk, and they go by him. He looks up, and they keep fighting, and he does not move. Well, and then they go into the next room.
He got a deadline.
No, my man there on Christmas Eve already. He like, fuck out of here. Like,
but, what was funny to me is when they were in the radio, I'm like, yo, that's me and Ben. We still sitting there recording. It's just like, hey, yo, but we still got this show to record.
Be like, true. All right.
Reporting live from Radio City.
Yo, she is whooping her ass.
Yes, I just wanted to give kudos to that, because that was a great, and it wasn't lethal, but the fact that they was going at it for a little bit and just busting through all the different offices was really fire. I really liked the way it worked.
Someone said their elevator fight was the second best elevator fight in the MCU.
I was gonna say that. And yes, this is jokes. It's the second best elevator fight in the MCU, okay?
Second best
elevator fight.
That's better than Endgame's elevator fight. Because it goes what is that? Winter Soldier?
Winter Soldier with Captain America and them in the elevator?
I think so. Yeah.
I don't remember. Y'all can correct us in the chat.
That's Winter Soldier. Then it goes Yelena and Kate. And then it goes Endgame. That is the order.
Which was the Endgame?
Hail Hydra. When he just tells them, Hail Hydra, and walks out on him instead of fighting. Remember Cap's in the elevator?
Right. Yeah. Oh, right, because the second time around.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hail Hydra.
Yeah. So, but then it was not really a fight. So.
Neither was this. They were pushing buttons and slapping
it was
each
like
other.
The fight came out
once they got out of the elevator. That was the fight. Inside the elevator was all kind of talking, you know. Yeah.
And I wanted to give another special shout out to Rogers the Musical, because after the first portion of the credits, you get to see at least that whole portion of that big musical number that we only got to see bits and pieces of in episode one. It's very tongue-in-cheek, but being able to see it from beginning to end, I really liked it. I actually was laughing and enjoying it. I liked how it was done, because it was quintessentially Broadway. It was very, for what they were covering, the topic that this whole musical is about the Battle of New York, it was still done in a very show tune Broadway manner, and it made sense, right? Like even the way they were dancing around and all of the chorus themselves, the writing of the music,
smash,
yeah, like when they said when Hulk came out, he was like, what is he about to do? I was like, he goes smash.
And the magic word is,
so I got it. I get it, but I was into it. I thought it was cute.
I was kind of down on it, honestly. I mean, I liked it, but I know they'd already released it on YouTube, the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
So I'd already
seen it.
I'd already seen it up to that point. So I was like, you know, I didn't really need some after credit, you know, like, oh, this is next. And I didn't need that. So it was cute. That's all. You know, but it was great. I'd already seen it, though. So it wasn't like I was like,
okay,
oh.
So you're sorry. No, I just thought it was cool, especially to give you that full view of what. Remember, Clint and his family walked out in the middle of it. So to come back and let you see what the whole thing was, at least that part of the play was, I thought that was cool.
And Rogers the Musical is still running in New York during Spider-Man No Way Home. There are posters in the background.
It is. You're right.
Yeah. So it's... Wait, no. But I see Hawkeye is after...
Is it?
Yes.
Hawkeye takes place holiday of 2024.
After No Way Home. No Way Home is like summer of 2024.
Okay. But the musical could still potentially be running. It's not like a Christmas musical.
No, it's running by Hawkeye. So that means it was running from summer to, you know, it's already.
That it's been running.
It's Rogers the goddamn musical. That's just going to be like there for
like Hamilton.
80.
It just keeps going.
Remember, it's across the street from Hamilton. So it's in one of the prime locations on Broadway. Like, it's.
So that's just like Cats is going to run for 80 years.
Forever.
Forever.
You got beef with me.
Let's talk about someone we're going to have beef with forever. Let's talk about these characters.
Not some of them, because Some of them ain't here to have beef no more.
Well, also, it's questionable whether they're here. But let's talk about these characters. Number one, Kingpin slash the big guy slash Fat Man, played by the legendary Vincent D'Onofrio. Remember that man's name. I just said, nigga, here come Vincent. Like, I was just like, I was happy to see him again. I was happy that he got a chance to reprise his role. What the fuck was he wearing, though? Let's talk about his attire.
All right, there's a lot going on. But first, I just want to say, as usual, Vincent brought the heat. Mm-hmm. She thinks she can quit the job like she works at Goldman and Sachs. Like, yeah. Come on now. Amazing.
That's amazing. And I did see a quote and that on somebody on Twitter, they felt that he was cartoony. I'm like, yes. Do you remember? I mean, I felt like he wasn't cartoony. I was like, do you remember how he was acting on Netflix series?
Yeah, I don't think they do. People, you know.
Like, he was the same. Like, I don't, that's what I'm saying. I think you just don't remember how he's behaving. And also, I didn't find a cartoon. Like, it wasn't Willem Dafoe, even though it works. It's not Willem Dafoe as Green Goblin, right? No. From the Spider-Man films, right? Like, from the past. Like, where he's chewing the scenery.
No.
This is Vincent being Kingpin.
When he's like, when Maya leaves in the, you know, when she comes like, and he knows what's up because she's like, I need time off. But she knows, he knows what's up.
He knows what's up.
And he's like, my Maya. You know, like, that was up there with Vanessa. Talking. You know, I felt that.
That was so Vanessa. Yes. Yeah. That was very much in that vein. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think y'all forgot the energy. Well, the people who thought it was his, the way he was acting was weird.
I think y'all forgot Hawaiian the energy
he had. It was the suit with the Hawaiian shirt that threw you off. Because, like I said, what the fuck was man's wearing? Because then he had the Columbia Cocaina hat on. And I didn't understand. First of all, why are you wearing that shirt with that same suit? Because just a moment ago, he was wearing a suit with a different shirt. Or in a different scene, rather. It was the same white suit, but a different shirt. So
yes,
I was just
then he switched up when he knew it was time to throw them hands. So he had to wear his, you know, casual wear. You know? Well, my
he's
man
wearing his Tommy Bahama.
Along
with his $5,000 or $8,000 suit, really?
And the cufflinks. My man said.
And the cufflinks.
I'm the reason they changed the dress code because they figure I went wild when I'm in my fresh mode.
Okay.
Mace.
Yeah.
You know, but he came through.
Yeah, that part of him was questionable because I'm like, who decides
I
loved
it.
Wardrobe?
No, I thought it was amazing. And the fedora.
I was just like, Kingpin, what the fuck are you wearing?
I mean, Kingpin, if you go through the comics history, he has worn all kind of shit. So, you know, to me, it was nothing. I'm sure there's actually a panel of him wearing that, if not several, you know.
I was thinking that. I said, because it was so prominent. Like, also, because he's so big and the camera work forces you to make him look like he's much larger than he really is. Because I've seen Vincent D'Onofrio look like Vincent D'Onofrio is not like he's a very stout man, but he's not this huge.
No, I mean, I've got pictures next to him. Like, we're the same height.
Right. You were there. You were when we interviewed him for Godfather of Harlem. Like he's stout. He's solid, but he's not like a fucking, I don't know, linebacker that's 7 feet tall. Like, no,
he's like 6 feet tall linebacker size though. He's definitely stout.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's not cartoony big, okay?
I mean, you got to remember, he played Thor back in Adventures in Babysitting, and he was fit, you know? Like, that dude,
back
you know,
in what?
Adventures in Babysitting?
You I never don't know seen? What that is.
Oh, it's a classic 80s movie, Adventures in Babysitting, and this young kid, it's about a babysitter trying to take care of these kids, you know, and they get into a wild adventure at night. The girl in the movie, I think, the little girl, has an obsession with Thor. Like, her bedroom is covered in Marvel stuff.
Thor the character, actually.
Thor the character. So at one point in the movie, they're off in New York, you know, in this crazy adventure, and they run into Vincent D'Onofrio, and he's like a mechanic or something, a plumber. But when he comes through in the light, you know, wearing the helmet and this wrench, the little girl's like, Thor! You know, and he has like, because this is young Vincent, and he's got blonde hair down to here, and he is swole.
He swole, okay.
Yeah,
well,
like
then that's,
cut.
That's fitting,
you know,
that
like,
he's in the MCU then, right?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, people, I think Tom the Fanboy mentioned that in the chat last week, but yeah, that's a classic film. Excellent. You should peep it. Yeah, but no, he whooped that ass, and then, when he kicked Kate into the damn doghouse, I was done.
Now, my thing is, I keep forgetting and misunderstanding his strength. Like, I was just like, first of all, you got to remember, you got to name all the parts where it's like, oh, shit, wait a minute. He's stronger than I remember. Kate threw an arrow to the chest directly. And he just pulled it out like nothing.
There's one of my favorite Punisher comics is Kingpin is testing this new assassin, you know, and he wants him to go kill the Punisher. So he, you know, has a meeting up with this assassin, and the assassin first tries to pull a knife on him. Kingpin, like, you know, whaps him away, and then the assassin's like, yeah, but I snuck this plastic gun in here. What you gonna do about that? He's like, shoot me. Blow, shoots him in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
Kingpin buttons up his jacket and is like, all right, I think we're good here. You know, and dude's like, and that's just one of the moments, you know. Kingpin is like, yeah, he's not superhuman, but
he's just eating them shits like Scooby snacks.
It gets to be on the limit, especially in the comics. And I think that's why the people might have said he came off a little cartoony, because he wasn't like this in the Daredevil. He was not ripping car doors off.
That's what I'm saying. And maybe because, and also we saw him in action, like a fighting action.
Oh,
not
he
like
served
this.
Some people in that. But yeah, it was never like this.
Not like this.
He never ripped car doors off. He didn't get hit by a car and stand up, then get blown up and stand up. Like, he didn't do all that. But in the comics, that's Kingpin all day.
And that's why I was cool with that, because that's how I remember, like, from Spider-Man Fox Kids. Like, the man's was just doing these wild things. Like, and you saw how, like, he gathered up all of Kate's arrows and just broke them in half in one go. Like, just the physicality. And you got, and that's really, and I think that's why they poured it on so heavy when it came to the things that you say people may have found cartoony, because they wanted to remind you or inform you, if this was your first time, this nigga's physicality is out of this world. And again, I don't know, I guess it's not he's superhuman, but it's extra.
And you got to also remember, they're bringing things in, like, this is more the MCU proper, where things are a little heightened already. This ain't the Netflix street stuff. So, you know, he's going to be a little bit, you know, more...
A little bit OP. Just a little bit.
Yeah, OP. Just a little OP. But I loved it because, like I said, this is the Kingpin. I know. I mean, I loved him on Netflix, but I don't think he was doing much more than this on there.
Than having really good dialogue.
Yeah, and he had great dialogue on this. So this was great for me. And, like, one of my favorite ones is, once again, from that same Punisher series, is finally the Punisher catches Kingpin after going through hell.
Yep.
Kingpin kills all these cats. This is like... Wap, 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 kills all these cats. Punisher catches them. And Kingpin is like, you're like a terrier chasing a lion.
Yep.
What are you going to do when you catch the lion? And then proceeds to whoop Punisher's ass. And this episode really did it for me, because Kate put the paws on that Kingpin. Slapped him around, electrocuted him. Well, I mean, Eleanor did run over him with the car, and that I needed to give, because the way my man went flying away from the car into the toy store, dog. Like,
well, first of all, let's not act like Kate was melee boxing Kingpin.
No,
but she used her tools at her disposal to wreak havoc, which is great. Like, but she wasn't up there boxing with mans.
No.
And yes, the way, first of all, where did she get the speed to do that? Like, I understand she was like a CLK 60. Or something.
Fast
but like,
furious.
First of all, it was facing the road. It was facing right way on the street. How did she turn it around that fast and just get it? Whatever.
Family, baby. That's how. Fast and furious energy. She felt the family.
Family.
So she brought that.
By the power of Dom.
Son. My man went flying.
It was funny.
Like, he's not even a little dude.
All I kept saying, I was just like, how did that, like, honestly, I just kept saying, how did that happen? Even now, thinking back on, I'm like, how the fuck did that happen?
It doesn't matter.
It happened.
It happened. That's all that mattered.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the last mention I want to say of Kingpin, is he dead or nah?
No.
We saw Maya, aka Echo, pull up on him and presumably get ready to shoot him point blank. But as we also know of Kingpin, not only is he, I don't want to say he's kind of Teflon, right? And also he's highly adept. Like, he's pretty agile, right? Do you think that potentially he was able to grab the gun or move her out the way or do something quick because he knew she was going to shoot him? But always remember, we didn't see what happened. We just saw the camera cut away and you heard the gunshot, per usual, right? That's classic. So,
two big clues to that are his last line to her, something about an eye for an eye, and the fact that she was aiming the gun at his eye. And in the comic books, Echo has shot Kingpin in the face and he survived. And was blinded in one eye for a time because of it. So I think we're going to see, you know, Kingpin be looking like Echo. I mean, not like Echo, like Lucky.
Like Lucky. Kingpin looking like Lucky. And yeah, and like, they're not going to bring, I mean, they could if they wanted to. Kevin Feige is a beast, but I don't think they're going to do all that to bring him back just to kill him.
And not kill him off screen. Him. No.
Right. If you're going to kill Kingpin, he has deserves to die more. Screen. And Vincent D'Onofrio would fucking riot. Like, it would be you would not hear the end of this for years upon years. So.
Because he loves playing the Kingpin.
Yeah. And also, like, he calls out bullshit because that would have been bullshit. So I think we're good on that.
Yeah, no way.
Yelena Belova, played by Florence Pugh, who did a fantastic job and will continue to do a fantastic job as Yelena, also the new quote-unquote Black Widow. Okay, hair is what I want to say, because I wonder if a Black woman was working on staff for that, because I love that braided mohawk she had going on. Like, that was different. I liked it.
The eyeshadow was on point, everything.
Yeah, she looked good. And like, it just reminded me when you were talking about how good she looked with her little messy bun and her hair down and other stuff. I was like, she really like a fashionable Black Widow. Okay.
Yeah.
Fucked with it. And it was hard to watch her go through the pain, right? Like, of the pain of acceptance, really. Because, as you know, she knows a lot of she knows that Clint was not responsible for her death. Like, in her heart, she knows he wasn't responsible. And the fact that when she told her, she was just like, nah, you're lying. Yeah. And the fact that it took her beating his ass and really trying to get through these furious emotions of rage, right? Like, this is the same rage we spoke about when we talked about Maya. And when you place blame on somebody or something, you have this interminable amount of rage that, and also, as the quote goes, it's blind rage, right? Like, you just... because you don't know how to control that, or you don't know what to do with that outlet, right? Or what to use as an outlet besides go after what you think is the cause, whether you know deep in your heart is wrong or right. And she doesn't stop beating Clint's ass until he does that secret whistle that she does or did between Yelena and Natasha. And she was chasing closure this entire time and you can imagine how long she'd been doing this. So she found out that Natasha was dead after she came back from being blipped.
Sad. Few years, yeah. It's you know, it's been a rough life for her in general, like, because that's the thing, she was idolizing these people for the longest. She finally gets to meet her sister, gets blipped, comes back, her sister's gone, and then she's like, you know, filled with rage, and she knows in her heart of hearts that ain't the truth, but she still has to express this rage somehow, so that's what she did, yeah. But I love to see when she gave him the handshake and lifted him up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, walked off like, we ain't cool, but, you know.
I don't hate you.
Yeah, I don't hate you.
I know it ain't your fault, bro.
Mm-hmm.
We not best friends, but, you know, I get it.
And people need to stop shipping Kate and Yelena as friends, whatever. Like, I think their interactions were fantastic, but I don't see them as friends at all, you know, like.
I mean, see them as I do.
Comrades, like, you know, maybe?
Comrades, friend. Okay, I mean, what language you want to use? Like, they're still, my thing is, you have those friends too, where it's like they're frenemies. That's what the really thing is. They're more frenemies, right? Like, like, even though, like, it's a very
competitive.
Competitive. That's what it's a very competitive type relationship. Like, clearly, Yelena has, at least from an experience standpoint, way more experience than Kate, and she's been trained. Kate also has been trained to a degree, but not like Yelena.
No.
But the fact that Kate still is going to do her best to hold her own and has hold her own. Like, she surprised Yelena a couple times. Mm-hmm. Like when she slapped her in the elevator. She was like, hey, yo, what the fuck was that? And even Yelena said, yeah, you know, I actually had a good time. And again, these hilarious quips between the two. Like, the stuff that you don't think should be happening in the middle of a fight where, like, you're about to jump out of a building or something like that. But, like, talking about, yeah, you know, that fight, the kick of the ribs, I get you. That was cool. Like, it just,
when she
it's called- funny.
When she told Kate to stay, no, Kate, stay.
Stay. Like, she was a dog. Yo. When she talked to her like she was a fucking puppy, I was like, this is funny.
No, Kate, this stay. That funny. Was too. And then she gets on the elevator and she's just like, oh my God, this fucking girl. Like, why do I have to deal with this?
I don't think they're going to have a contentious relationship. Like, not going to, like, I understand what you say. Oh, they're not going to be necessarily best buds, but I also think they're going to be very helpful to each other. And that's why I said, in the last episode, I think there's going to be some form of team up later. Are they going to be on a team? Probably not. But are they going to help each other or want to help the other? Yeah, probably.
At some point. And I also like that it was kind of like Yelena was being like a mentor to Kate even. Because she was like, she sees her and she's like, okay, this girl, you know, she's you know, she's trying and she's got
she's
training.
Trying.
Yeah, and she's not fearful. She's brave. So, you know, I'm going to help her out. I'm not just going to beat her ass. You know, I'm not just going to be like, you know, completely knock her out of place. But
yeah,
I'm going to keep her where I can still complete my mission at least. But, you know, I'm not just going to finish her girl up.
And let's be clear. Kate is fearful. I guess when I say fearful, she, when things happen that are scary, she does get scared, right?
Yes.
But it's how do you react to the fear? And you see Kate watch Yelena jump out the window and she watches her like, I got to get this girl. I'm going to do it, right? She's not quite ready to jump out the window, but she's like, I'm going to do it. Yeah, this is supposed to be scary. I'm going to do it. Hawkeye did it. I could do it. And then she proceeds to do this. I don't know what the fuck she was thinking, but no. I don't even know what she thought was going
or
to happen.
Or how she survived it.
Or how she even really survived that fall out of 30 Rock, but she did. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
Ben, I mean, let's talk about Echo, also known as Maya Lopez. With her glow up that came out of nowhere. Like,
out of all the fights, just the fight you glow up
now
for?
Now, is she all super cleaned up? And like she's going someplace. Like, I didn't understand that, but let's continue to talk about her.
I was trying to. I don't.
What was going? Okay, so she gives this pseudo speech, this fake ass speech to Kingpin, and says, "Hey, yo, I'm gonna need some time off." And even Kingpin was like, "Oh, that's a twist." You know, you were so angry for all these years about what Ronan did to your dad, and now you're like, you know what? I fucked up. I'm gonna go away for a little bit. As you said, Kingpin knew, okay, that's just her saying she's gonna dip, she's gonna run, and nobody runs for the Kingpin, right? All that stuff. But where was she going? What was she doing? What was the thought process? I feel like there was something missing with her character.
I do too. I think the fact that in the end she doesn't get to interact with any of them really was kind of a missed opportunity and doesn't really. It didn't really have me hyped for an Echo series right now.
Yeah, I didn't understand. I mean, besides having her directly interact with Kingpin, which was, again, a questionable ending, even though, but you know the truth, he's alive. But I didn't. Like, I don't know. She just came out of nowhere. And it's just like, but she shouldn't feel like she came out of nowhere because she's an integral character to the series. So,
but yeah, in this episode, she does come out of nowhere. She comes out of nowhere, you know, Fs up Kazi and then goes Fs up Kingpin. And that's pretty much what she does this episode.
And
yeah, and it's like,
looks forlornly at a picture of her causing her dad.
Yeah, but it's that's like Hawkeye, Kate, and Yelena are right there, and they don't really have much of an interaction at all. And it just felt like, I mean, I know we had that great hold open with Echo early on in the series, but after that, it felt like we didn't get much more from her other than, I'm angry all the time, you know, and fight me. And then it was just like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, kind of missed. I you know, I hope they, you know, give her more. And I know the Marvel and, you know, Sarah Finn and the rest of the casting people over there don't make, you know, misses. So, I'm sure they see something in this woman that when they give her more, that she'll be able to hold it. And the Echo series will probably turn out to be more fire from them. So, you know, I'll wait and see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Kazimigos.
They keep missing with the brown women, don't they? You know, like Captain, you know, Photon.
Seen a pattern, right?
Yeah, the final episodes failed brown women, you know?
Kazimigos, Kazimir Zak, played by Fra Free.
Mm.
He gets suplexed by Clint, LOL. He should have stayed down, as Ben Ami points out in the notes.
Duh, that was it. Like...
He should have stayed there.
Kazi had a clear out. You know, he gets suplexed. He was knocked out. He could have came to the Kingpin 2 days later like, yo, I got served by Hawkeye. You know, like, what else? What's going to happen? I mean, Kingpin might be in the hospital.
Kingpin was mad intimidating in that moment. And it was like, hey, yo. He basically said, you with me or you against me.
Yeah, but
and
he already got served. That's what I'm saying. He went and tried to fight, and then he got served. But when he got served by Hawkeye, no. Did he stay down? Nope. He tried to come back up, and then...
Well,
yeah.
And my question, like, I guess almost every cat there's something questionable going on with them. Because I was like, Kazi got hands like that? Like, when...
unbelievable!
All, this is Hawkeye we're talking about, okay? Regardless of how you feel about him, this is motherfucking Hawkeye. Hawkeye shoots... He shoots true. Straight and true, okay? This man, Hawkeye, shoots the three arrows, right? The split arrow. He shoots one arrow that splits into three. It hits the two tracksuit mans on the left and the right of Kazi. Kazi...
catches.
I don't even know when he established he has hands like that, but he's able to grab the arrow right before it hits him in the chest or whatever it was supposed to go. He can do that? Like, I just...
Maybe
that when did they establish that he was nice like that? Like, I knew he had the hand-to-hand combat on that, but like, as a typical upper-level henchman, that's how I felt. You can catch a Hawkeye arrow?
That's boss move right there. I don't remember even him doing that as the clown in the comics, you know? I was surprised, you know, the fact that he was dead a few minutes later probably mitigated it for me, where I was like, you know?
Did he get hit by the same arrow that Hawkeye tried to hit him with? Because then he used that arrow to try to hit Maya, and then Maya grabbed the arrow and stabbed him with it.
It was a broken arrow. He might have broken that. Who knows? There was a lot of arrows lying around at that point.
Hawkeye did hit him. Loser.
No. My point was, like I said, if he just stayed down, waited out the rest of the fight, he would have been good. But no, he had
to get... Then he would be a coward, and we'd be talking about how much of a coward he is.
No, he wasn't. He got suplexed. He was done. He was unconscious. Like, that was it. It wasn't
We'd be sitting up here making jokes about how that nigga laid down for 20 minutes at the finale.
I would have forgot about Kazi like you would have. You wouldn't even have thought about where was Kazi. You'd be like, oh, Clint broke his neck. That would have been your thought. You know, he suplexed him. He broke his neck. He done.
Yeah.
But no, this man had to get back up, come back down, and then get stabbed with an arrow. And really, Maya got underserved, and I thought Kazi got overserved because it's like...
He did get overserved.
His little jealous rage, you know, like, and this is my life.
That
like,
was disappointing because I felt this arc
that
two episodes
his
ago.
Homie.
And I said, please don't let it be that. And it was that. I'm jealous. I'm supposed to be in charge, not you. That your life is supposed to be my life. I'm old.
Her dad was the boss.
Like, who
and
the
her
fuck
dad,
else he was going to pick?
He going to pick you? Because you a man or something? Because she...
Well, I had mad years under my belt. So what, nigga? That's his daughter.
But wasn't he young Kazi when she was young?
Echo? They're the same age, presumably.
Yeah, how many years did he have on her?
Enough that he felt he's owed this position.
Well,
And not even years, experience, that he felt he's owed this position.
Well, he got what he was owed.
Because he knows the... Well, he got what... Yeah. That he did. But Ben, you called it. I think you said 20 out of 10.
I think
he was
going
to die.
20 out of 10 that Kazi was not making it out of this episode.
And the only nigga to not make it out the entire series. That's the other part.
And that was the thing. I didn't really say any. I pretty much was like, everybody else going to make it. I hedged my bets on pretty much everyone else. But Kazi was like, there ain't no way that man walking out of here.
He did have a good quote, though, when he was talking to Maya, when he was having that conversation before she killed him. And he says, I can't walk in both worlds. That's a callback to that conversation Maya had with her, or dad had with Maya when she was little, when he was explaining to her how she needs to learn to live in two worlds and the advantage that Maya has considering she's able to do that.
Well, now he's going to walk in another world.
Ben, I mean, you're rude as fuck. The underworld.
Yeah, so rude. I mean... You know, he's all complaining and shit. So now, you know.
She said, I don't want to kill you. Wow. Like, and that's the other part. Like, her even saying, I don't want to kill you. That was telegraphing. I'm going. Not, I will kill you where you stand. What do you have to say for yourself to make me stop?
Yeah. Nothing. Some jealousy shit. Some bullshit. Like, I ain't trying to hear that, dog. My dad died for this. Like, fuck out of here. He was the worst.
Jesus.
What a sucker way to go out, man.
He's kind of a sucker.
Yeah.
All right.
Now he did.
Kate Bishop, played by the Hailee Steinfeld. Kudos to her. Fantastic. And I'm looking forward to her as the new Hawkeye, not Hawk Lady or all the mother Hawk names she came up with at the end of the episode.
No.
That she was running through
Lady
for jokes. Lady Hawk or, yeah, whatever. This is really her first real, real mission. Mm-hmm. As kind of a pseudo Avenger, you know, she jumping out the window, she doing all this bullshit, she fighting fucking Kingpin one-on-one. That says a lot. It says a lot to her tenacity.
Yes. I mean, you know, I was actually talking about my man, I want to say it was Tim Hotep who we were talking about this, and he was like, that's not Kate. No, actually, it's Mello. Me and Mello were talking about it, Mello Marketer. And he was like, that's not Kate Bishop from the comics. This is Hailee Steinfeld as
this is
Hailee
Steinfeld as, yes.
Yes.
And I think that everyone has to remember that. All the characters in the MCU live action, they're not so-and-so from the comics. They are this version in the MCU.
Yes, and I think she's doing a fantastic job. And being a super fan of Kate from the comics, I want to see her grow on more and meet, you know, some of this shit. Like, I want to see her go have sex with an alien like she does, you know, and not feel bad about it in the morning, as she shouldn't. So, you know.
That was random.
No, she does. Marvel boys. No,
that's what you want to see.
I mean, I just want to see those type of things. Not that I want to see her actually have sex.
Okay. Yeah. You just want her to do the outlandish things.
Yeah, he's actually a normal looking dude. He's you know, to her, super hot. You know, he's Marvel boy. He's a blonde haired, blue eyed alien. You know, and she in the beginning of Young Avengers, she wakes up in his bed and they're in space. And then it kicks off this awesome adventure. You know, and it was just dope to me because she was like, I don't even know his name, and I don't care.
Live free, Kate Bishop, live free.
And then she dumps him later on in the series.
She's incredibly tenacious. She has, I guess that's the way to do it. She brings down the entire tree, Rockefeller tree, to get Clint down. I'm sure there were other ways to do it, but she says this is, and that's one thing about Kate that she's done throughout the series. She's done really the most direct things. Like every time Clint's like, okay, how are we getting out of this? How are you going to fix this? It's always been like before. He was like, well, how are we going to get out of here? I need a ride. Uber pulls up. He said, well, how are we going to do this? She does something else. Like, she's like, I'm just going to down the entire fucking tree later for Christmas. I got to get my boy out.
Pretty much. I mean, that's it. And you never get to see that tree getting taken down. I don't think I've ever seen that in any movie.
I've never seen him be destroyed. So I think that might be a first.
And that was awesome.
Movie or show. I don't recall it ever being destroyed. And like you see, for example, the Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building, all sorts of things get destroyed a million ways. But
yeah, no, that was great.
And that also might be, you don't want to see, it's New York. You don't want to see another building destroyed. So
now we got trees. So, you know,
we got trees.
F them trees.
Question, does she have a bolas as a weapon?
It's
two kind of like spherical weights on it, and it's just like a string, it's more like a rope.
Yeah, attached by a rope, you throw to trap people out, knock people out. Yeah, bolas. Yep, definitely did. Yeah.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure I just wasn't seeing things.
Thing, they're experts. You know, Kate and both Hawkeyes are experts with not just bow and arrow. They're expert with aim, you know, so anything thrown, shot, any of that stuff, they get down.
And that's why she actually uses the trick flick, I don't know what else to call it, that she learns from Clint. And I believe she uses Kingpin's own cufflink.
Yes, she does.
To set off a chain reaction with the arrows to get him down, at least that last time.
Niced him.
Very nicely done.
Yeah.
And of course, like I said, she don't have no family right now, so she joins Clint and his family for Christmas.
Aww. Soon she'll have the rest of the Young Avengers, you know, new family. Yeah. Yep.
Clint Barton, Hawkeye, Ronan, played by Jeremy Renner, he finally calls Kate his partner.
Oh,
and I felt that was a heartwarming moment for me. I was, because you saw it in her face. She was like, you mean it this time? Like, it was just such a pure moment. Let's say that.
I also loved his little speech. I mean, the first one that he gives her before when he tells her about responsibility was great. But the ending speech when he's like, you know, hey, sometimes somebody just comes into your life and they just make everything better.
Yeah.
And Missy, she really killed this costume. You see the fabric?
He's really good at doing that.
He's so great with his sarcasm. Yeah. So that was great. And then, you know, turning back to her and being like, no, I'm really proud of you. You took on the Kingpin one-on-one, you know. I was sitting there like, oh,
you gave her props. That's cute.
Yeah, I love it.
For one reason or another, he sees an owl when he's in the Christmas tree. And I'm sure that owl will come back as an Easter egg, either in another show or even in an MCU movie.
Ant-Man.
Because we do see after Kate uses the Pym arrow to miniaturize one of the Trusta Bro trucks and the bros inside. I think it's Enrique in them, I think it's that one of the main dudes. But she miniaturizes it. And as it's just sitting on the ice in the Rockefeller rink, the owl that was in the tree comes down, swoops down, grabs it, and flies away. I'm sure they'll pop up down the line somewhere else.
Them dudes is dead.
They were talking in the car. They were
not
alive.
For long. Unless,
you think the owl's going to eat them?
Dog, unless they grow big, yes, that owl's eating them immediately.
How's the owl's going to get in the truck?
With his claws. Right through them little windows. Yeah, that thing is tearing that truck apart and eating them dudes.
I think they may pop up as an Easter egg.
If not dropping them off, yeah, hopefully not, because they should be done quick. Dropping them to their doom, that, like he said, and that's that.
But remember, Hawkeye, and I think that's the clue, right? Hawkeye, they said, well, what happens now with them? Hawkeye said, I don't know. So, you know, it could be a time release situation where after a certain time,
it better be quick. Like I said, owls is not messing around. I don't know if you've ever seen an owl or an eagle, like when they are in attack mode. It is a, you know, good night Gracie type of thing. Like,
okay.
They are not the animals to fuck with.
But Cord and Ben, it better be quick. They ain't got much time. Yo.
He's like, tink, tink, tink. And that's it.
Not the squirt. Why do you have to do the squirt?
Why bro? Why?
Pissing on them like they eating ramen or some shit.
They could be like, damn, bro.
Oh my. They would say that, right, as they're getting devoured. Like Attack on Titan or some shit. Okay. Eleanor Bishop.
They talk when they're getting ate into Attack on Titan?
Eleanor Bishop, played by Vera Farmiga. No, they don't talk, but I'm just saying. She is clearly, it's been revealed fully that we've been new, but it has been revealed fully. She's been in league with the Kingpin, and when I'm doing the math, for at least a decade, because as Benjamin mentioned earlier in this review, she was blindsided, as she quotes to Kate, because after her husband died, they found out he owed all this money to Kingpin. What her husband was dabbling in that he even got in bed with Kingpin, who the fuck knows? But the husband owed all this money, and there was all this debt and other shit and favors and all this shit, and she had to step up and do something about it. So it seems to me that, like, you know, Bishop Security is besides being an obvious tech company, is also a front for many different things, as we saw, like, there was some relation to Sloan Limited and other stuff. But this is also how Kingpin is making his money. And it's a tech company, so it's making big money. So, of course, Kingpin's like, you're not fucking leaving.
Security.
My thing is, if Kate didn't get involved, it's clear Eleanor would have just, everything would have been as is. And she even said as much. She was just like, you know, I've been paid my husband's debt and we're still going, yet the relationship is all right, but my daughter knows too much.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's one thing y'all know about, we're talking about the mob, gangs, whatever, once you get in, you don't get out.
No, especially with the Kingpin.
Especially if you are making guap for the Kingpin. He's not going to just let you skate.
And as we see, like, Kingpin is taking big L's. You know, Daredevil served him in this, yeah. You know, now that all that is canon, broke down his empire and all that. So, like, he's running around with the Tatsu Mafia trying to get back control of New York, let people know that he's here.
You're right. And that is kind of like lowbrow for him, right? Tatsu Mafia.
I think that's a reflection of where he's at from after Daredevil, you know? And even after, like, at the end, when he's, like, struggling to get away on foot, like, nobody comes and scoops him, you know? Like, come on.
That's facts. You're right. No one does. I mean, that's also because all 150 of the Mafia got served by Hawkeye.
I mean, he ain't even got, like, the arranger, you know, his, you know, personal dude, you know, his Bentley, somebody to come scoop him up, you know?
This is
Jeffrey.
Facts. Jeffrey, you're right,
Master Fisk.
Oh, Lord. Jack Duquesne, aka, now we're gonna call him the Swordsman, okay?
Yes, sir.
Played by the Tony Dalton. He showed up and showed out this episode
because
he
Jack.
Thought it was his motherfucking time.
He said, okay, Jack, it's your time.
Besides that, the one thing that just made me laugh at myself, I was just like, he really was framed by Eleanor to take the fall. He really was innocent this whole time. And I was like, you see him, he's being all Weasley and conniving. And he really was that simple all this time.
And it's not even that he's simple.
Not simple, excuse me.
Yeah.
And I may use that term. He's
that privileged. Yes, he really is that dude who can't believe any of that. Because he's like, what do you mean? I don't work. Like, how would I ever run some organization?
He said, I don't work. I don't know what you talking about. He was doing, like you said, he was saying the themes wrong. Not the themes. What are those? The adages wrong?
Aphorisms.
Aphorisms.
Like that video, I think it's TikTok, where they asked that white woman when she's getting out of the car, like, what do you do for a living?
She's like, I'm married.
Yeah, that's Jack. You know, he's like, what do you mean, what do I do?
I'm like, out here.
that was my favorite reaction to the LARPing thing, how he's like, some sort of leisure activity, because I'd be down for that. You know, like, yeah. That's how, you know, I love me some leisure activities. Like,
and it's interesting to see where that's going to go with Jack and this whole LARP crew, because...
If he shows up again with them, I'm done.
Him being a true swordsman, like, I can see him, like, teaching them, like,
and really loving swords. That shit, too.
Yeah, and because now they're looking up to him. And that's one thing, he likes being the man of the hour. Especially when it comes to using his skills in swordsmanship. I think he would really like joining up and teaming up with the LARPers.
That's what, like, instead of the Broadway at the end, I could have used a scene of him training the LARPers.
That would have been cute. I like that.
And I hope they bring him back somehow, some way. I'm not sure how, you know, if they will or not, but mm-hmm. I just loved him. And it was like, I saw somebody commenting today because they knew him from Better Call Saul as well. And I just love seeing this dude do such a different role from that. Tony is a monster. I got to see what else he's done because, he's great.
I did love when Jack came to the holiday party with the sword, because I was like, what the fuck is he doing? And Clint came in with his version of Wear Flex, but okay.
But okay, yeah.
I was like, that's good writing. I like you write that in there.
Wear Flex, but okay.
Yeah.
And Jack sunning that kid again, just cannot go unmentioned.
Great. Kudos and shout outs to the LARPer crew, Grills, Wendy, yes. Orville, and Missy. I said, now this is LARPing, okay? This is how you do it. But they had a blast, and they were very helpful. Lots of times when heroes enlist like the random bystanders or random civilians for help, to varying degrees, it's like, all right, y'all didn't really need to be there, but they were actually helpful in doing shit, mm-hmm. like, and physical shit. Like, you see big man Orville, he was doing the body bump with people, Wendy smacking people up with the bat, like, shoot, they was, like, really going, like, Super Smash Brothers on people. I was like, okay, I see y'all. Y'all got something going. So, I appreciated that.
Grills got to sun the kid, which also helped.
Grills got to sun, he said, I'm trying to save you, little snot, or whatever.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I loved them. I love Grills and all them. They're all, like I said, they're from the comic once again, Matt Fraction, David Asia. And so it was great seeing them represented. And I think, like, Grills catches a bad one in the comics. So I'm, like, really glad that didn't happen. Yeah. Like,
you can't sacrifice the black friend this early.
Well, Grills is white in the comics, so they just sacrifice.
Well, he's the black friend here, so they can't do that to him.
No. And they already had both black friends robbing from the evidence locker and stealing Ronin suits. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. And then they got the brown friend, you know, doing whatever at the end. So, yeah.
Laura
the show
Barton,
didn't do too right by the brown people, folks, but, you know, it was still good.
Laura Barton, wife of Clint Barton, played by Linda Cardellini. I don't know if you saw this reveal coming. Mm-hmm. You knew, but that watch that they were at that she was so concerned about with Clint, and we had talked about this when I had asked you why was she speaking Russian, mm-hmm. all that stuff, what did she do, and you were saying, well, she might have had a background being an agent of some sort.
Yep.
Well, that watch, when Clint hands it back to her, it's a Rolex with the Shield logo on the back and the number 19. That 19 stands for Agent 19, who is known in the comics as Bobby Morse, also known as Mockingbird, who's also Hawkeye's wife in the comics. Ben, I mean, are you reaching for a figurine or a comic book? Oh, he's reaching for a comic book now in the background. Is that Mockingbird and Hawkeye you're about to look up?
I am picking up this Mockingbird comic book because this comic book is one of the most criminally underrated comics ever. And real quick, I just want to shout it out. If you want more on Mockingbird, pick it up. It's two graphic novels by the author Chelsea Kane. And it is incredible. It features Hawkeye and Mockingbird, mainly Mockingbird, but Hawkeye pops up. And it's just so good. Bobby Morse is one of my favorite characters, and she appeared in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So there was always this confusion. And since Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't seem to be canon anymore, what people are really going with is the Agent 19, and Mockingbird is probably just a code name, just like Hawkeye is. So it might have been that woman at one point, Bobby Morse, and then... Laura was a Mockingbird as well, and so that's how they're tying it all together and having Hawkeye and Mockingbird be together as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
very
definitely
nice.
Check out this book by Chelsea Kane because she's a famous author and people like ran her out of comics. This is one of the only comics she ever did. Yeah, it was some.
That art is fantastic, by the way.
It's so good. The art is by a person, Kate Nimzik. and Ibrahim Mustafa. And Chelsea fucking put her foot in this book. It's so good, and it's so effed up what happened. There was a bunch of men, you know, doing their usual bull. So
damn, that's it. Yep.
So good.
I'll definitely pick that up and give it a
read. You'll love it. It's so funny. It's just everything. It's great. Yeah.
All right. And finally, Pizza Dog has a name. The artist formerly known as Pizza Dog is now known as Lucky.
Which is from the comics, but they didn't even show you that on screen, right? He just suddenly is Lucky. Like, they just suddenly start calling him Lucky. But
Kate, when she walked in the house, in Clint's house with the kids, and she was like, this is Lucky.
Yeah, see, it was like, I think that was edited out with it when he finally got the name.
Oh, okay.
Because he's Lucky the Pizza Dog. That's all you know, he's still the Pizza Dog. Yeah, trust. You know?
Got it.
The Pizza Dog never goes away. No.
Got it.
Represent.
Any other character things you want to mention before we wrap up?
Just kind of upset that we didn't get a Lucky the Pizza Dog POV in this series at some point, you know. I was kind of hoping for that cold open this episode, but, you know, beyond that, no.
You would have lost your mind.
Everyone who's read that comic would have lost their mind. It could have been 1 minute long and we would have been so happy. But, no, I loved it. You know, loved the series, loved the characters. I thought this was one of the best Marvel series, and I thought the characterization is why it was one of the best Marvel series. Because it even brought you around from, you know, being a complete non-liker of Hawkeye to, you know, like, understanding where he's coming from at the very least. And me, as a big fan, you know, love him even more. And Kate, it represented Kate how I needed to be represented, so.
Yeah. It is. And with that, we got our Easter eggs and inspirations. Mm-hmm. Ben, you talked about the load up of weapons, very so 80s.
She was pouring the gunpowder in the thing. That was like Predator when Arnold does it with the grenade. He opens up the grenade and makes an error out of it.
Is that done in any of the Die Hard movies? Because you said there was lots of Die Hard.
No, but the Die Hard reference in this episode was Tate jumping out the window and being scared to jump out the window. And the famous Bruce Willis when he jumps off the roof and it's like, oh God, please don't let me die.
Well, there it is.
That's one of my favorite lines. He's like, oh God, please don't let me die.
And that takes place in, at least one of them takes place in Christmas, right?
Yeah. The first two Die Hards both take place at Christmas.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. There's your Christmas connection.
Yes.
The one of the dude bros, one of the Tracksuit Mafia bros, the main
guy. I caught
guy,
that too.
When he pulls up, he says, Red One in position. I thought that was a Star Wars shout out.
Yes.
That is the call sign attributed to the leader of the Red Squadron, depending on what the Red Squadron is at the time or whatever mission they're on in the universe, in the galaxy.
Yep.
And you had told me, Ben, that there's lots of back and forth between Marvel and Star Wars when it comes to like mentioning each other's properties.
Oh, especially now that they're owned together, but this goes back from like, because remember Marvel used to put out a Star Wars comic book like right after Return of the Jedi for years they did. So there's always been all kind of references, and it's just like how Star Wars, and especially between George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, like going back to all their movies, they're always referencing each other and they'll show up in them and little things like that, Red One. But yeah, they're both owned by Disney now. Of course they're going to be.
I thought it was cool.
No Way Home, we saw the damn Lego Death Star again.
Right.
Getting smashed.
Wait,
again.
That was there?
It gets smashed again when he's applying for college. When she comes in, he knocks it over.
Are
or
you
the robot
a spoiler?
Arm knocks it over. It's a Death Star.
Okay, we still meet. Okay,
no, you got to stop. We got to stop being like,
Well, I'm just saying that. No, you're not giving away anything of the story itself. Yeah. You're just talking about something you saw. So I just don't want anyone to get upset with you.
They'll be fine.
Okay. That has nothing to do with the story, y'all.
We got to stop. Yeah, we got to stop doing that, people. That's like one of the worst things about culture now, where it's like, over everything that has nothing to do with it.
I'm like, don't tell me shit. Don't even tell me that the grass, what color the grass was. I don't want to know.
It's gonna be green.
Let's wrap up these Easter eggs and inspiration.
Unless
and all
you
that.
Got one of them old TVs in your color off.
At what point during the episode long fight, Kate is in the window of the toy store and she steps briefly onto a giant piano when she's shooting an arrow. That is an inspiration from Tom Hanks' movie Big. Where during Christmas he is, and that movie is where a kid makes a wish that he was an adult, right? And the next morning he's actually Tom Hanks or whatever. So anyway,
and has sex with a grown woman,
right? And we're not gonna talk about how creepy that shit is. But The fact of the matter is Tom Hanks dances along with somebody else. He dances on the giant keyboard.
I can't remember the actor's name. He's so good.
Right. That giant keyboard in real life, IRL, was in a toy store called FAO Schwartz, mm-hmm. which was originally on Fifth Avenue where the Apple Store now is.
Yep.
5th and 59th, I believe. Mm-hmm. It closed in 2015, but it reopened in 2018 in its new location in 30 Rock, which is Rockefeller Center. So, because when I saw it, I was like, oh, wait, FAO Schwartz back. I forgot that they had came back. But yeah, that's all we're like. But the Kingpin Kate fight took place now in FAO Schwartz, and it all connects back to Tom Hanks and Big.
And Christmas, because, you know, and it's toys and capitalism and Kate getting kicked into that doghouse, which is
after Elena treated her like one. So
he kicked her right into the doghouse, though.
Amen.
I was like, that was cartoony. That was cartoony. Oh, just slapped her around. Just slap you up.
Okay, so Ben.
Kate really did slap Lilina, though. That was you mentioned it before, but it bears repeating that she really did slap her ass.
She slapped the shit out of her.
Like, for real. Oh, man. What an episode.
All right, Ben. Is there anything else you want to mention about this finale episode?
Wow. Nah, I think that's it, man. You know, I really enjoyed the series. I think Hawkeye turned out to be one of the best series MCU's put out so far, and fully did not expect this. So, you know, hats off to everybody involved.
Yeah, definitely. Did you think they stuck the landing with this finale?
Oh, yeah. Other than the Echo stuff, which...
There was some wonky stuff here and there. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, but that's anything. You know, nothing is perfect, you know. But overall, I thought they, you know... 7, 8 out of 10, you know?
I give it a 7 or 8 out of 10. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. Because really, it's the Echo stuff that was just kind of... It just felt like we needed like 5, 10 more minutes with her.
Yeah. I might have to give it a 7 out of 10 simply because the first two episodes really a wash for me. And it's only 6 episodes long. So I'm just like, damn.
I don't see myself rewatching the first two again.
That's what I'm saying. So yeah. They might lose the half point to get to the 7. But
I feel you.
Yeah.
Overall 7.
Yeah. But overall, still a good series. I'm glad we watched it. Thank you, everyone who has been listening to us about Hawkeye. Make sure you are subscribed to us on your favorite podcast platform. You have to subscribe or follow whatever the button says to For All Nerds. And that's how you get views from the 616. We also want to make sure you are listening to us because we have our spoiler-filled Spider-Man No Way Home review that's out now. It's an all-star review, meaning we have special guests with us. Please listen to that as soon as you can, which means you gotta go see the movie. Please be safe. Please be careful as well. But once you see that, or if you don't care about being spoiled, just go listen to it.
Yeah, some people don't.
And that's fine, but we do warn you in the beginning several times.
Yeah, and I mean, I do. I care. Yeah. Don't do that to me.
Don't do that to me. Make sure you're following myself, Tatiana King. That's at Tatiana King. And this man up here at DJ Ben-Hameen, not Ben-Hameen, but Ben-Hameen on your favorite social media platform. Yeah, because pretty much everything.
I know what's happening there. You were trying to remember which one you're shouting out.
You can go to Twitter, get blocked by Ben, go to IG, look at my thirst traps, whatever you like. Is all there and available for you. Thank you to the outstanding fan fam. Once again, you prove why you are 5-star. And as I'm saying 5 stars, that reminds me, make sure you update your Spotify app because Spotify has now released ratings for podcasts. We've already asked, and several of you have already done it. Thank you so much. We've already asked you all if you can please rate For All Nerds 5 stars on Spotify. Again, make sure you have the updated app. And when you go to our page or our profile page, whatever it is, there is you'll see a little star there. If you haven't used it yet, it'll be blank. Click on that and choose 5. Thank you so much. We appreciate you for that. Same on iTunes. Please tell them how much you love us. Oh, whatever you want to say, just throw it on there, whatever. Thank you. And again, like I said, thank you to the fan fam. You are everything to us. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for the support you always give. Twitch.tv/ForAllNerds. I see you in the chat. Make sure you are following us. Also, subscribe to our Twitch if you are able. If you have Amazon Prime, you get a free subscription every month. That just means every month you got to resubscribe. But for the free, just connect your accounts and you'll get that free subby. Thank you so much, everybody in chat. Love you. Appreciate you. And make sure if you also want to support us in many other ways, you can. Patreon.com/forallnerds. Every tier is a special tier. You get some form of goodies and privileges. And shout out to everyone who've already keep getting their free stuff. Some of y'all are on the money. The minute that email be dropping, y'all be running up on the Patreon like, I got it. So shout out to everyone who got their free merch a while back. I know they got 007 stuff. They got free. Someone got like a free Wong Was Right tee. People got 4L Nerd tee. Like all sorts of merch and stickers and all sorts of things. Like we just be carrying on over there. So please make sure you are supporting us there. That is so important. That is how we keep this show running. That's how we pay our staff. Thank you so, so much. Patreon.com/4LNerds. And last but not least, make sure you go to TeePublic. That is our merch page. Another way to support us. TeePublic.com/stores/4LNerds. That's how you get this beautiful, would you like to fuck around and find out, Miss Menace t-shirt design on our page. This design and all designs you see here, except for Ben's. Ben's is a super exclusive from 2018 that was up for approximately 2 minutes and 28 seconds.
It's a one-of-one.
Before
one.
The Beegency, that's Beyonce's mafia, came and took it down immediately. Yeah. But very special designs are still up on our TeePublic, and you can get the designs on a variety of merch like masks, because you got to be wearing your mask. Make sure you get it on your cups, mugs, phone cases, pillows, whatever, and tees, obviously. Long sleeve, short sleeve, hoodie. It don't matter. We got you. Hit that up, tpublic.com/stores/4LNerds. Ben, I mean anything else?
All right. We are done with Views from the 616 for the year. This is our last episode. Like Tatiana already said, we did the Spider-Man No Way Home spoiler-filled review this week. So that's out. By the time you hear this, that has been out. So that's it for the year. But also, by the time you've heard this, Book of Boba Fett will have dropped. Now.
I need a break.
I do too. But I know our fans want it. And I also know that by the time the Ahsoka series comes around, I'm going to want to be talking about it. So
We're definitely watching it.
I think we'll put a poll on Patreon first off. And then maybe
you know
a poll.
The poll's going to say
yes. Yeah. I know it is. All right,
the answer is already there.
We also need a name because we got Views from the 616, but we're going to need a name for our Star Wars.
So now we got to make a Star Wars focused podcast.
And it's got to be black as hell.
All right.
You know, if anyone has a name suggestion out there, hit us with it.
Yeah.
We're going to figure this.
Hit us with it. And if we probably will come up with something, but if y'all just have something that's just out of this world fantastic and we choose it, you are going to get a prize pack. How about that?
Word up. And all kind of other stuff and our eternal love. So, we'll see if we'll be back this year. If not, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Festivus to the rest of us.